So you think if we just say Chris Hemsworth, he'll just come?
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
He's there.
Who becomes the Anitos? Yes. Is it everyone? Is it everyone who
does
dies?
Does everyone qualify?
Does everyone get to be an Anito? It's no. I love that there are specific gods for specific times of the rice harvest.
What do they call him then?
He who must not be named.
I do believe in fairies.
I do believe in They take a child, they make it happy, well-fed, blah, blah, blah. Then they sacrifice it. A god for when you buy too much books and you haven't had time to read them.
Stop it. When it rains on a bright sunny day?
Why do I have to turn my clothes inside out every time I get lost?
And why does your pantry always have to be ready with adobo ingredients at any point in time?
I don't know, but we'll find out. I'm Anima.
And I'm Ice. And this is the Gods Must Be Crazy. We are super passionate about Philippine mythology and folklore, and we want to learn about it, with each other.
Yeah.
So, every other week or so, we will be bringing stories that we're super interested and curious about and telling it to each other. And we'd love if you could join us.
So join us to learn about where these myths come from,
mm-hmm.
what are they all about, and do these myths persist till today? Okay.
Hello.
Hello. This is our take two. For this episode. But you know, that's how you learn. That's how you grow.
Exactly.
By iterating.
Exactly.
So this episode is, our podcast is called The Gods Must Be Crazy.
It is.
We've done maybe two episodes.
How many actual gods
have we actually
featured?
Talked about? And so, you know, as we go through, we said, okay, let's try to live truer into our purpose, and we want to make sure that we live through and sort of do a bit of makeup work. This is like remedial gods, right? And so I wanted to, for us today, to tackle the Anitos.
Yes.
The Anitos of Philippine culture.
Which are a huge part of pre-colonial beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a background. So in Western beliefs and in modern Filipino religion, it's, you know, very Westernized. It's Catholic or Islam. And it's a hierarchical type of worship. There's an ultimate God. There's Mama Mary. There's Jesus. Then there's saints, right? There's a bit of tiering. But in pre-colonial Philippines, while there were many supreme beings like the Bathalas and the Melus and the Kaptans in different regions that we've talked about, the everyday and day-to-day was actually done through the intercession of the Anitos. And we'll talk about a little bit more about what comprises the Anitos. Because after, you know, the big gods made the world, when you have issues with missing things, when you have issues with your harvest, when you have issues with your weaving, you don't want to necessarily bother the big gods for that. But also, a lot of these Anitos are ancestor spirits.
Mm.
And so in much the same way as if you would like to, you know, in the Philippines, apply for a job, you look for someone who's already working in that company and say, "Uy, pasok mo naman ako," which is something I hate, by the way. But it's sort of that habit, right? You sort of find your connections and ask them to be intercessories. And that's what Anitos are.
Yeah, right? Because it ties back to, and we talk about this in our episode on death and the afterlife, right? Mm-hmm. One of the main systems of belief was that when someone died, they did not necessarily leave the world.
Yeah, they hung out.
Basically, they just changed form. they're still in the world, but they're here as spirits, mm-hmm. right? And I think one of the other things that that means is that because they're now in spirit form, they're better able to actually liaise with the gods. So they're kind of like messengers. Mm-hmm. And so people felt like this person is in my family. They would vouch for me mm-hmm. and intercede on my behalf to the actual big gods. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll actually do the big work.
Exactly. And that was, you know, animism, that's a core of animism in a lot yes. of similar cultures around Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the rituals and beliefs are tied with, you know, practices related to after death, what happens, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, a lot of the traditions that you also mentioned is like, you know, I remember one you said where you whisper to the deceased
yeah.
what you wanted, and then they can then bring your wish to wherever they're going, and hopefully that you know that helps them out. So the Anito, spelled N-A-A-N, and dyslexia. The Anito is spelled A-N-I-T-O.
Are you going to talk about
the little figures? Yes.
Yeah,
I will. Great. So the Anitos themselves. So there's a spiritual aspect, and then there's a physical aspect.
Yes. Also.
Or what I like to call the action figures. The action figures of pre-colonial Philippines.
Which, by the way, links with the different costumed Santo Niños that we talked about.
Exactly.
In episode 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Air Force Santo Niño. The IT help desk Santo Niño. Okay, so the Anito is, they refer to different things. Mostly ancestor spirits. But they are also nature spirits, and they are the deities of the indigenous Filipinos during the pre-colonial age. And there are, the terms get narrower or broader depending on the ethnic group, but it's safe to say that they will represent ancestor spirits and then minor deities. And we're using broad quotes here. Yeah. They make the figures, the little action figures, are called tao-tao or tao-tao. Tao is person.
Yes.
So tao-tao. It's usually made of wood, stone, mm-hmm. or ivory.
So I have a question.
Yes.
The tao-tao is an anito of an ancestor.
Sometimes.
But what if it's an anito sometimes of it's a fertility. Little god?
Yes, like a fertility
so
god.
So it's still called the tao-tao.
It's called tao-tao. And later...
Tao means man, yes. right?
Yeah. Or and, human, not or man.
Okay, sorry, yeah, sorry.
Human.
And Filipinos love to repeat words.
Yes.
So of course when it's we're gonna small, repeat it.
When it's when it's for things that are small or an emphasis, right? So that's why diminutive nicknames. So like
Jun Jun,
Jing Jing, right? So they're diminutive because it's like endearment. So if you think of like Brazilian Portuguese, Fofi means sweet. Fofinha means my little sweetie.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Or like, so yeah, so it's the diminutive one.
So tao-tao.
Tao-tao is a diminutive person mm-hmm. representation. And then later on, so the gods, the tao-taos that describe gods usually have a uniform appearance.
Okay.
They usually look the same. They're like, they have their hands on their knees, or they have their hands on their ears. And then the tao-tao that represent people, they kind of look like the people. So mm-hmm. there's like, there's one who looks really fat. There's one who looks really skinny. So I'll show you. We can show pictures on the Instagram. So the as you mentioned, there are rituals that happen with the Anitos. And the process of calling or contacting the Anitos is called pag-anito.
Mm, yeah.
Roughly.
Or mag-anito.
Mag-anito. Roughly, it's translated as a seance.
Yes.
And it's used by the mechanics are the shaman or the babaylan or the katalonan. So babaylan is more of a Visayan term.
Yes.
And the Tagalog is katalonan. Is a medium. And then the Anitos will come into them a la Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost. <The ghost. laughs> Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost with the spirit of Patrick
Swayze.
So they
will be possessed by the relevant...
The relevant gods
yeah.
that you have lodged your complaint with. And they will do the task, whether it's healing, communication, blessings, right? And then when an ancestor deity is called. But when it's a spirit deity that mm-hmm. you call, it's not called pag-anito, it's called pag-diwata.
Ah, because it's a higher god, higher ranking god.
Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
Have there ever been...
It's more long distance.
No, have there ever been instances where they were calling one person but they ended up being possessed by another
spirit? I read a couple of those. I read a couple of those that you were asking for. That's why you have to be careful about how you phrase your ask, right? Because, like for example... Bad example, but you want to say, I want to be sexy. So I want to be skinny and beautiful so I'll attract more males. I want to be skinny. And if you don't specifically say, I want to be skinny in a healthy way and I want to ask the goddess of beauty,
hunger.
You can attract the god of hunger or illness or the god of accidents. And then you accidentally have something happen. You get LBM, you get skinny. It's not going to be fun, though.
You didn't clarify how. Uh-huh. You didn't clarify. Yeah. So the bellow procedures at that time were...
Yes, you are very specific.
But, so I suppose then that not everyone had access to Mag-anitos.
No, not everyone.
Because you have to be rich to be able to afford the babaylan.
There's sacrifices that need to be done sometimes.
Yeah, of animals. Mm-hmm. Sometimes humans, right?
Sometimes human sacrifice. Sometimes humans... humans that you've caught, so like enemy sacrifice, but also sometimes people within your own tribe can also become sacrificed. Another thing that you can need to be careful for is that sometimes you ask for a favor from someone. You ask the shaman like, oh, I want great riches, but it turns out that instead of invoking a malevolent spirit, it's a malevolent spirit that comes in, right? So for example, I've read that, you know, someone like, I would like great riches, pero what happened was their parents died, so they inherited
the riches from the parents.
Yeah, so you have to be very careful and specific. So as you mentioned, Filipinos were animistic, as with our different neighbors. And we believe that every single thing had a spirit, from animals to humans to phenomenon to rocks to... And so where did it come from? Where did the belief come from? It's Proto-Malayo-Polynesian. And the word, Anito...
Proto-Malayo-Polynesian.
So it was the society before Malaysians, before Polynesians.
Okay.
So, or this early, early language. So the hypothesis is Anito comes from possible several sources, right? Kanito, Q-A-N-I-T-U, and there's also a Proto-Austronesian called Kaniku.
Kaniku.
Kanito or Kaniku, it both means spirit of the dead. And there's also a Micronesian word, Aniti, and then Malaysian, Indonesian, Hantu word called Antu or Nitu.
Okay.
Or Aitu.
Which also means spirit of the dead.
Yes. And then there's also a Tao word called Anito. So there's like so many. There's at least 15 different ones. I remember before we mentioned that hypothesis that Polynesian people came from Taiwan through Philippines, picked up a chicken, and then they brought it to Fiji, to Tonga, to Samoa, New Zealand. So the Taiwanese aborigines called it Tsu. They have a word called Hiku, right? So that's why they have, these are the hypothesis of the different theories. And of course, the Anito have two subcategories, which we mentioned, which is the ancestors or Ninuno, and the deities and natures, Diwata.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the...
And is this belief... like across the islands as well, Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao, you would be seeing traces of this animistic belief, right? As the foundation of a lot of the other
and that's really what what's the Spanish latched onto. So the Spanish model of conquest is very different from like
the Catholic
Spanish Portuguese model of conquest is very different from, let's say, British model of conquest. So British model of conquest is usually like what was happening in America. You take over, wipe out people, and sort of plaster over on top your culture. The Spanish and Portuguese model was you go into the country, you sort of see what exists, and you adopt.
You assimilate.
So they said, I remember a history teacher saying before, the Philippines was not conquered by the sword. You turned the sword upside down and it was conquered by the cross. So they used Catholic concepts to adopt to the Anito beliefs.
But you know what's interesting is, so yes, I agree to that end, especially because you have traces of like Catholic assimilation even across Europe with a similar point, right? I think like Saint Bridget of I think Germany or something like that, right? Yeah. That was actually based on one of the bigger gods, and then they demoted them into a saint, right?
Because Celtic cultures, Nordic cultures also had the individual gods, like Thor, like Odin. So like, you know, Baldur, the Baldur myth in Norse mythology, he was hung up in a tree and then he was resurrected, you know. So there's...
So that's one part of it. But I think the other part of it, which just made it like a perfect storm almost, is... And we mentioned this in a lot of the discussions about all of the similarities between Southeast Asian beliefs, is that there was really just a practice of like assimilating each other's beliefs.
Yeah.
Right?
The collective...
syncretization, I think, is what it's called, which is like you just reinforce and strengthen your belief by... accommodating and assimilating all of the other practices nearby, which is why you see so many overlaps with regions that are near each other. Mm-hmm. So I guess when the Spanish or the Catholics came with this idea of saints, they were just like, okay, I guess it makes sense because the saints intercede on our behalf to Jesus. Yeah. So it's the same thing, which made it easier to adapt.
It'd be interesting to see if there were any of these cultures that translated into Spain and Portugal. You know, like, for example, I see, so hoodoo, for example, and voodoo were Haitian witchy beliefs and translated and traveled to the U.S. with that population.
Yeah.
So let's dive back into the ancestor spirit. And you asked me this yesterday when we did take one. Who becomes the Anitos? Yes. Is it everyone? Is it everyone who
Does
dies?
Does everyone qualify?
Does everyone get to be an Anito? It's no. They can be spirits of your actual ancestors. So you can call on to your specific ancestors.
Mm.
But also cultural heroes. And... so like the hero, the great warrior of your village,
okay,
the great healer, the great wise man of your village.
Uh-huh.
And then, or the guardian spirits of the family, like in Mulan.
Mm.
So the guardian spirits of your family. And they believe that upon death, the free soul, or in Visayas is called Kalag, or in Tagalog is Kaluluwa. They travel to the spirit world, traveling across on a boat. Very similar to the Greeks. And then they go to different places, but some stay back and some can be contacted. And they stay in different places. So like, you know, I think we don't need to go through this in specificity because it's connected also to death. Eh? So there's like different places where they live. Mm-hmm. So there are different afterlife concepts. And very quickly, there's no concept of heaven and hell. It's not you're bad, you go here, you're good, you go here, right? There is an other world. That exists alongside the material world. So it's parallel universes.
Mm.
So souls reunite with dead relatives in the spirit world and they could lead normal lives in the spirit world like they did in the material world.
We actually get into that in the death episode.
Okay,
right?
So I'll skip over that.
Because it's more about, so in other culture, in Western cultures, it's like the normal and the paranormal or the natural and the supernatural. But I think for our culture, it's more about the seen and the unseen.
Yes.
Like they're all here. We're all coexisting.
We're all in the same space.
But you just don't see us. And that's why sacred spaces are important.
Exactly.
Because the spirits of the ancestors
exactly. are there. They live there. There's like a lot of interesting things like when you move on. So for example, like in Kalinga's people, the acceptance of a soul by the ancestors into the certain world requires the spirit, in the spirit world requires tattoos. So you have to have a lot of tattoos, or they call batok, because it's the hitting motion of the tattooing that you can see in Moana. So they can gauge how worthy you are if you got a ton of tattoos.
And this is a practice that Wang Od does.
Who is one of the last remaining practitioners of batok. She's called the Mamba Batok, one who does batok. Batok, incidentally, is also the word that you use when you hit your friend upside the head.
When you whack someone.
On the back of the head.
On the back of the head.
Very specific.
Because batok as a word is the nape of the neck.
The nape of your neck, yes. Okay, so souls in the spirit world who live alongside us, they still retain a degree of influence in the material world and vice versa. That's what you mentioned. Like they're in the in-between.
Mm.
So when they do the pag-anito, they can come in they can also become an intercessors with the deities. If you are an intercessor to a deity, you're called a pintakasi or putilon. And the usage of the word pintakasi is still used in Batangas. I've heard it. So like, for example, I think the best usage of like in that same context that I told you about, where you want to get a job in City Hall, and then but you know someone who's
so
like an uncle.
In a
so for example, nakakuha ng trabaho si Ice sa City Hall kasi may pintakasi siya.
So Ice got a job at the City Hall because she has a connection.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that I said like, oh, that's interesting that it's still very much used. The vengeful spirits of the dead can also become as ghosts or apparitions, but we can move on that later on. I think it'll be more relevant for the death context. The ancestor spirits in the Igorot, so we were mentioning that it exists across all. So in the Igorot, which is in the north, they're called as Kalading. In Maguindanao and Maranao in the south, they're called Tonong. And the Bajau, they're called Umbo. Nuno or Umaglad in Tagalogs. In Visayas, Nono in Bicolanos, Umangad or Umayad among the Manobo tribes, and Tiladmandin in the Tagbanwa. So different words and different definitions. There's a famous Anito who is made of gold in the Igorot people, which has their ear hands over their ears, which I think is really freaky. But anyways, there are different...
Why do they cover their ears?
Sometimes they want to do it for silence. So it's different things, right? So it's a lot of them are covering their ears with silence. So it's sometimes it's mourning, and then sometimes it's for peace. So different interpretations then. It would be creepy, no, kung merong like covering your eyes. Why are you covering your eyes? Maybe there is. But I like the Bulol one, which is in the Igorot also, where a man sits in a short stool with his hands on his with his knees drawn up and then his hands across his knees.
Yeah.
It's so symmetrical, and it's usually a harvest. It's a harvest god. So there are different spirits, right? There are spirits that have never been human. And these are the diwatas, mm-hmm. right? So ancestors were human before they died.
Yes.
And other intercessors. The diwata. In the simple parallelism that you can use for diwata are minor gods or nymphs or elementals, I guess is the best way to put it.
Like, for example, how, say, Aphrodite is the goddess of beauty and mm-hmm. the arts and stuff like that. But then you have nine different muses for different...
Mm-hmm. Kinds of music.
Yeah. Or like, one is like philosophy, science, et cetera, sports, et cetera.
Can I tell you a side story? So the nine different muses. You know the singer Thalia?
Thalia,
from
the one
Marimar.
Who played Marimar, yes. Maria del Barrio, etc.
So she comes from a family of a lot of sisters. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have nine, but I think they have seven.
Okay.
And they're each of them named after muses. And Thalia is the muse for music.
That's so cool.
Right? It's cool. One time I was at a McDonald's and the lady serving me had Thalia in her name tag. And I was like, no. She was like, yes, I was named for Thalia Marimar. I said, how old are you? Teenagers are
really. Thalia was so big in
huge.
The early 90s. Mm-hmm. Everyone was watching her telenovelas mm-hmm. on what? RPN 9, was yes. it?
No, we love Marimar so much, we went to Acapulco. Like me and
what were her shows? So there was Marimar.
Mariela del Barrio.
Mariela del Barrio.
Rosalinda.
Esmeralda. No. Really? Was there an Esmeralda?
Yeah, Esmeralda. Esmeralda. Yes, that was her. Yeah, Esmeralda.
I remember that, okay. Because in my mind, it's Esperanza with Judy Ann Santos.
No, Esmeralda. Esmeralda. And then, yeah, those were her shows. My favorite was Mariela del Barrio.
And then she came here and then she had a concert here. It was a huge concert.
It was a huge, huge
Sorry,
concert.
When I say here, Philippines, we're not in the Philippines right now. But
anyways, of the Thalia Muse tangent. So who is the Thalia? I don't know who the Thalia is in the Philippines. But these are, the deities are called different names. They are used to personify abstract concepts and natural phenomena, like music. And they're not really part of an actual pantheon. So they're not like rank and file and things like that. They're known in different pronunciations like Dewatu, Divata, Duwata, Ruwata, Dewa, Duwata, Dia. And of course, it comes from Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Devata or Deva. Devabad, remember? And then, you know, isn't that Arabic? Devabad?
Yeah.
So Deva, meaning deity. And they are a result of syncretization, which is the word you were talking about a while ago, of Hindu beliefs to the direct cultural exchange in the Philippines and Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really interested because there's some parts of Indonesia that are like just like really stayed very Hindu.
Yeah.
But we just are sort of like assimilate to a and Frankenstein of cultures.
In Bali, which is still very strong Javanese culture roots, right? They have like all of those little altars for their gods, like in the corners of the house. Yeah. Right?
And then
which is very similar to this.
They have it in the corners of the house, but they have sort of like a bird feeder in front of their house, which has also, it's like a little house, and that's where they also do the offerings in front and inside.
Yeah, they leave food and flowers, and they wrap it in like certain like cloths, depending on the season.
Yep. So there are three general types of non-human spirits.
Oh, okay.
Three. I remember you talked about before, when we were talking about encantos, that there are three like different, there are the encantos and the people in black. There are three non-human spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So first are the environmental and nature spirits, and they are bound to a location.
This is the Maria Makiling, Maria Kakao.
Yes. They own spaces. Yes. They own specific spaces like fields, forests, cliffs.
Klikanlaon.
Yes, seas, Mount Apo.
Know,
volcanoes, winds, but also lightnings and realms in the spirit world. So they have they are also keepers, and there are also totems of various animals and plants. They usually have inhuman aspects. So, you know, bird heads or fish tails.
So they're bound to their physical location. Mm-hmm. And then they're the guardians. And that's where they get their power.
Mm-hmm. And they rarely concern themselves with human affairs. Mm. And unless they're bothered. And the rituals for them are usually conducted outdoors, right? So there are like home rituals and home offerings. These guys are in the place themselves. So I remember before when we were hiking in...
But what does it mean in terms of like, what do you pray to them for?
Safety. I don't get attacked by a wild boar.
Maybe like
give me a harvest. Wild boar.
Yeah.
I'm hunting. Give me a good hunt.
Mm.
We were hiking before in Pico del Oro in Batangas. And we sat by a big mango tree, and there was an offering there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was a white candle. There was a piece of paper that we didn't open up. And there was like, it was like a puto seco cookie.
Cute.
The little tea cookies. They kind of look like macarons, but are like 100 times harder. So it was cute, right? They were like, okay, don't touch the offering. So there's that, the first type, right? They're bound to the place. The second type is the unbound spirit. And they have an...
So they roam around freely.
Yes, or you usually, yes, and they're animals. So they're like birds, and we'll talk a little bit about the birds before, or have human-like forms. They also have gender differentiation and names. They're almost similar to like, if you think of fairies, like specific fairies in Western folklore. And these are the ones that are most commonly who become called or invoked by the babaylan. The independent
and they're
spirits.
The ones who like make themselves known to the humans.
Yes, because they're the sociable ones.
Yeah.
They're the more sociable ones, and they can take interest in human activities. So these spirits are referred to encanto as well in more modern Filipino folklore.
Probably because like, sorry, and this is us kind of like trying to interpret it, but probably because like the nature-bound spirits, they have the natural source of power.
Yeah.
But these wandering ones don't.
Yeah, maybe.
And so they need people to pray to them and give them offerings so that they gather their
they
power
need belief.
From
They need the belief.
Human beliefs. Yeah.
Using the American gods concept again of the belief is what gives them the power. And
it's not an American gods concept. It's
That's true. Yeah. It's the spiritual concept. It's the hook concept that when you clap your hands,
the fairies. I do believe in fairies.
I do.
It's true though.
It's true. And like you said, these rituals are done in both in human households, but they can also take place outdoors. But there's no limit to this. There's a super cute Anito of the Bontoc people, and I'll show you the picture. But he's super cute. He looks like a cartoon. Okay. Not cute like I would do him, but like cute as in I would totally...
Like adorable.
Like I would totally have him in my house.
Okay.
Like to hang out. And then the last class of these deities are actually the Aswangs, the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
They're called, they have different names, of course. Aswang, Yawa, Magalos. I wonder, there's an expression called Pesting Yawa. I wonder if that's what it is.
Yeah, probably.
Right? Mm. Pesting Yawa. Peste is like...
a pest.
A pest or nuisance.
Yeah.
Yawa, Pesting Yawa. They have, of course, we all know...
So they're a class of Diwata.
They're a class of Anito.
Of Anito, okay.
Mm-hmm. They're a class
but
of Anito.
But no one worships them.
There are practices that are associated to them to banish them or to ward them off.
So they're similar to the second group that they just wander around, mm-hmm. but...
They're not bound.
They get power, I guess, by consuming souls,
mm-hmm.
like, without their will.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing also is that they are never worshipped in religious rituals. And they don't do offerings to them because they usually are pitiless.
Is it possible, for example, you get demoted from class 2, Diwata, to a class 3?
Why not?
Let's say you run out of like...
Or like what if you date someone you're not supposed
or
to?
Or you run out of worshippers.
Yeah.
Let's say your place is abandoned or the people there leave and then they forget you. And then maybe you turn vengeful.
Yeah, maybe you can turn into a monster because you have no other source. Your energy is either the land or the worship. Or maybe then the fear.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be an interesting story to do.
Yeah.
Like someone who used to be an ancestor spirit and then became a Diwata and then became, you know.
There's a book I'm reading. It's not...
I thought there's a book I'm writing. But
no,
okay.
No. Not true. There's a book I'm reading. It's called... Or I just finished reading. It's called Blackwater Sister.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Please read it. I it's one of the best books I've read this year. It's based on... Malay belief, folkloric belief. And no, it's not folkloric belief. It's based on Malay belief even today of as in a similar vein, like these local gods and these small temples and shrines that you kind of go to worship and ask for help. And one of the main characters or main antagonists in the book, the Blackwater Sister, she was a normal girl who died because of unjust means,
mm-hmm.
and her vengeful spirit stayed in a particular area where she was murdered. And it kind of like, she just gathered more and more followers, and that's what gave her so much more power. And then she eventually became considered like a major god.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that makes sense in I hate to allude to it again because American gods. One of the stories was that this village was protected by a god, and every year you have to make a sacrifice to make sure that the village is prosperous and safe. But that god was created.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they took a child and they still do it in Mayan traditions, right? They take a child, they make it happy, well-fed, blah, blah, blah. Then they sacrifice it. Yes. So in Mayan, in the Andes, I'm not sure it's Mayan or Aztec, but in the Andes, they have found these mummy children who were not killed by violent means, but they look like they just been asleep.
Oh my gosh.
Because they were turned into gods. So that's how they were transformed into gods. Right? Creepy. And sometimes the origin is forgotten, but that's what they thought could change.
I mean, are all gods created.
That's true. Everyone, all like in Thor, that's a made up word. All words are made up.
That's true.
All gods are made up and all words are made up. So which now we go through an interesting aspect of Anito's subcategory of Dewatas, which I don't know, maybe you can help me think of why this reason is.
Okay.
So in our previous episode in Biringan, remember Biringan!
In Biringan,
we talked about how when the reporters came to the neighboring town, why people didn't want to even mention it. People didn't want to even talk about Biringan or the people who dwelt in Biringan, the Dewatas. And so Dewatas are rarely spoken about openly in fear of attracting their attention because they're always listening. And they're referred to in euphemism. So
yes.
Like he who must not be named. So they're called those unlike us. So in Visaya, they're called Dili Ingon Nato, or like them who are different.
Mm-hmm.
In various names, they're called Banwaon or Tagabanwa, which is literally...
Tagbanwa?
No, Tagabanwa.
Mm.
They literally translate to the people, the dweller of that place. Among, and no pointing to, by the way. You shouldn't point.
Of course you shouldn't.
You shouldn't point. If you point, you should bite your finger, lest you offend the Dewatas. Among the Tagalogs, the non-human nature spirits are also called Lamang Lupa, or dwellers in the bowels of the earth.
Ooh.
Or Lamang Dagat, the depths of the sea, depending on their domain.
Ooh.
But you don't refer to them by name.
Yeah, because calling their name invokes them.
So you think if we just say, Chris Hemsworth, he'll just come?
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth!
He's there!
Idris Elba! Oh my god! Wouldn't that be great though? Wouldn't that be great if you just say the spirit name and then they'll just come?
But that's likely it, right? Because probably in an actual summoning ceremony, how else would you summon them but to call their name?
The power of the name, right?
I mean,
and that's something I'm super fascinated in across different cultures. The true name, the power of the true name still holds a lot of value.
Mm. Again, we said, what is your real name? Is it your name on paper?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it your name at baptism?
Mm-hmm.
Or
is it the name that the people closest to you call you?
Or is it the name that you're called to by most people? Like, what's valid?
Is it the first name? So now that we've gone over the broad Anitos, I wanted to go through really specific Anitos.
Okay.
And I would like us to play a little game. Like, what would, if they there wasn't any description, let's think of, like, what do they would they look like? And what context would they be useful?
Okay.
Right?
You're just going to give the name and we're going
to I'm going to give you the name description.
Okay.
And then we have to think of, like, what would they look like?
Okay.
And then what was the specific context that you would need them for?
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. It's like word association, okay? So we'll skip over the deity spirits. And so let's start with Ipa Mahandi, a Bukidnon goddess of accidents. So I'm thinking she's got a lot of band-aids. And then she's like our friend Grace, who always has random bruises. And she never knows where they came from. What context would she need to be invoked? To prevent accidents? If I'm going to be traveling to a distant land?
Yeah, probably if you're traveling, mm-hmm. going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like an area with a lot of like...
Bukidnon.
Natural accidents.
Pineapples, they have...
Earthquakes, landslides.
No, Bukidnon is very prosperous. Lots of pineapples. No, nothing really. But like maybe unknown places that you go to, right?
Mm.
Okay. The next god, which is one that tickles me, is... Makatalubhay is the god of bananas.
The god of bananas.
The god of bananas. What does
so he watches, he or she watches over banana plantations or
yes.
banana trees. Where would you worship them?
If I was going to run a race and I didn't want cramps, so I'd get like lots of bananas.
Does banana help with
yes,
cramps?
Yes, potassium. It helps with cramps. So you
I
have to...
He must... What's the name? What's the name?
Makatalubhay. Does he have a hat?
When would you invoke him? Or her. When you harvest bananas?
When I'm planting bananas.
But do you plant bananas?
You do.
They grow from the stem of the old
banana. Yeah. when you harvest them, when you want to find them? Does he have a hat of bananas? Like Chiquita Banana, right?
Is he friends with monkeys?
Do monkeys make the offering?
Sorry, we forgot to talk about this, but do these gods have, are they gendered?
Yes.
They are gendered.
So there are gendered gods, and there's gods that have dual aspects. So this is the god of
bananas. You know, probably there was no need to really gender gods, right? Like, at the end of the day, and that's why there's a lot of confusion in the, you know, records of whether a god was really male or female, because we didn't bother with that, number one, and our language doesn't really have gender pronouns.
We don't. The word for he or she, we have sha, which is they. They is the default. And, you know, the ending of A-O and A for gender was a Spanish thing. And so typically we don't have names, like if things end in A or O, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a male or a female.
Yeah, because Ababailan, which was the shaman we talked about, typically would be a female, but would sometimes be a male, just in female garb. Yeah, or a bit more effeminate.
And I was thinking about that. I was doing some reading on that. Like, why is it the female in it? Is there any aspect of the female that's generally more acceptable or more open to be a babaylan? And some hypothesis is that, well, because the males are usually, but not exclusively, warriors.
But you know why? It's because a female gives birth.
Yes.
And through giving birth, channels another spirit to enter into the world.
Exactly.
Right? Through your child.
Yeah.
Somehow the child, like, you're creating a new spirit, or you're bringing a new spirit into the world. And so maybe it's about, this is a guess, by the way, we're not anthropologists. Yeah. So, and maybe therefore the link is a woman or an effeminate person might have a much easier time
access to the spirit,
or being able to intercede with the
that
gods.
Makes sense too. Yeah, or the because you have a spirit growing in you, so you're a better
telephone. Or you have the capacity to have a spirit.
So in terms of these different gods that you would like to intercede, you know, the day-to-day lives, looking at the gods and the nitos that people valued really gives you a good peek into what was important in their lives, right? So, of course, fertility is one thing that they have a lot of.
So there were several gods for fertility.
Several gods for fertility.
Was there a god for, like, not having cramps on your period?
No, I think that's one of the modern.
We need to have a god for migraines.
This is my hypothesis. I think cramps are a modern happening.
Fair.
Right? Because one of the things that help with cramps is moving around a lot. Right? Yeah. And eating certain foods that are less inflaming.
And there are certain positions that are very good for you, like squatting. The Asian squat, as they call it elsewhere. Which really for us is just like squatting all the way down.
Which is what our bathrooms are like when I was growing up in my Lola's
house. And probably, that would eliminate the need for cramps to happen. Because it would be
constipation. Yeah. Totally is gone. So we need to bank these for modern gods.
So let's talk about what are the most interesting anitos you found before.
Yes. So we were talking about, like, in things that are important, right? And of course we know rice and harvest was very, very important. But I love that there are specific gods for specific times of the rice harvest.
The specific levels.
So in one stage, there's one stage of rice where you would like the rice to ripen early, and there's a god for that. It's Kalasakas. From Sambales. And then there's a god for the grain. After the rice ripens, you need it turns green. I don't know if have you seen the stages? So it's green. And then when it turns yellow and dry, then it's time to harvest that. And the god for that stage is Kalasukos.
What does Kalasukos do?
He makes the grain yellow and dry, ready for harvest.
So Kalasakas will
ripen.
Accelerate ripening. Mm-hmm. Kalasukos will
accelerate harvest.
Ah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because Zambales is in the rice bowl region of the Philippines, region 3.
So another specific aspect of agriculture is when you prepare the land after you've harvested it, now it's just like regular soil, you need to plow or araro, like holes or divots in the land so you can put the soil in. And so the person who does that
is called pag-aararo, right?
Is plowing. And so the plow,
is it like tilling?
No, tilling is different. Tilling is before you plow. Till is like you make the, you prep you prep the soil. Okay. Yeah, so you till the soil to make it fertile. Mm. Sometimes when you till the soil, that's when you put your fertilizer. That's when you it's another preparation.
It's like stage. Enriching the soil again. Yes. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So this god of plowmen is called Bingsol. He's that specific god, Tagalog god for plowmen.
Mm.
And then in also in relation to rice, right? So there is a goddess in the Isnad province called Pilay, which is also the same word for fracture or sprain.
Mm.
And this god is someone you make an offering to during harvest to ensure the children don't go hungry.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's so cute. Children shouldn't go hungry. One of the ancestral spirits that is being that can be imbibed by the babaylan is called Kapapuan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of like, we were talking about specific asks like healing or blessings and things like that. This specific type of ancestral spirit, Kapapuan, can be, it's kind of like X-Men for babaylans because they can make water gush from rocks, create oil shields, leap from far distances, and pass through solid matter.
Wait, when they
imbibe the spirit,
when they enter the body of the babaylan will suddenly have superpowers. Yes. Like this.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, they can be, right? They can leap far distances like Superman. They can pass through solid matter like Kitty Pryde. They can become invisible.
Wow.
Like the Invisible Man. I would like a live retelling of someone who saw this happen.
Is there which X-Men does that? Like copying Rogue. Other people's
She's
powers.
She's like Rogue.
But Rogue will drain you of your powers and then
she doesn't have to drain. I mean, drain is the extreme. But she can touch you and then she'll get the power.
Ah, or like the Taskmaster isn't that advanced.
The Taskmaster watches you and then can copy
you, but it, your fight. It won't be able to like
doesn't have your power.
Get your power. Okay, okay, yeah, got yeah, it. Yeah.
So this is like Kapapuan is who you invoke if you want to be rogue. Rogue, the rogue of the Karai.
The Kapapuan is several types of spirits.
So maybe each specific spirit is you know, Superman spirit.
Exactly.
Okay.
I choose you,
spirit of the bee. There is a god who is the god of attachment.
Attachment.
Lakambini and Lakandaitan. Attachment.
I'm
thinking romantic attachment. Okay. Like, I would like this person to like me to be attached to me. Or I'd like this person to break up with this person so that I can have another
spouse. Do you think
these
are the people that you pray to when you're making love potions?
Yes, love potions. Or maybe I'm thinking these are the spirits that you make offerings to during weddings.
Mm.
Right? If you want to have a prosperous wedding, if you want to have a productive wedding or a long marriage. Lakandaitan. Yes. There is a whole series of gods for bees and honey.
which probably had the big bee culture then.
I wish.
It's not something I'm really aware of today.
I really thought bees were only in like Palawan. Bohol bee farm. And then in Palawan, right? Like you can buy wild, but it's wild honey. It's not cultured honey.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know where it is? It's Bukidnon, again, Talandig, and Batak.
Before they turned these natural environments into plantations, probably, yes, the bees were there.
Because they would have been flowering fruits and stuff. Okay, and then there's another god for, this one I like. This god is called Matanda, which is old.
Which means old.
It's a Tagalog god for merchants and secondhand dealers.
I love it.
The god of carousel.
Facebook marketplace.
Facebook marketplace god Matanda. That's his name.
I love it.
Right? Because like, yes, there should be, you know, you want to get a good deal.
Yes.
And this is the closest thing to like sort of like the money attitude that we have from our Chinese influences. So I'm thinking it has to do with that business. There is, on the opposite side, there is a god of vagrants, Lakapati. But Lakapati is also god of fertility.
Yes, that's what I waifs, know.
But also vagrants and waifs.
Ah, interesting.
Right? So remember we were talking about how it's how Western gods seem to have consolidated also other things. Like Poseidon is the god of the sea and horses.
Yes.
So
or even their overlaps, right? Helios is the god of the sun and drives the chariot of the sun. Mm. But so does Apollo for some reason. So who is it really?
Maybe shifting. Maybe shifting so that Apollo can go on vacation.
Exactly. And he wants to go on his escapades.
Yes. There is a god, this one I like also, and we need to invoke this coming election. Tigbas is the Bukidnon god of good government. What do you offer to him? Staplers and red tape. Transparency. So transparencies, OHP transparencies. Not money. Votes. Ballots. You offer ballots. Just
burn all the ballots from the...
Yes, burn all the ballots as an offering so they will be counted. In terms of the purpose of healing, like we mentioned, there is a female goddess and a male goddess, god, from the Gadang tribe for healing. And then they'll call them. They'll invoke Melalam, is the female goddess, and Talanganay, because it's NG. NG, by the way, is an alphabet letter that exists in Filipino alphabet. Nga.
Enye.
Enye, NG.
And NG.
Yes, yes. But the pronunciation of NG is nga, and the pronunciation of enye is nye.
Nye.
Nye. Okay.
But don't worry, guys. We'll post a full list in the show notes of all these gods in case you're interested in reading up on them.
I like this next god. I think I will invoke them a lot. Anagulay, the goddess of lost things. Where are my keys? Anagulay. And then what's the
There's
offering?
A saint of lost things. Is it
yes,
Saint Therese?
Saint Anthony.
Saint Jude, Saint Anthony.
Saint Jude is lost causes.
Oh, that's
Saint Anthony. Saint Anthony is lost things. There is a goddess of modesty. And she's married to a mortal. Her name is Mahinhin. She's a Kapampangan goddess. Mm. And then, oh, this is interesting. This is like a guardian angel, Anito.
Okay.
In the Maranao tribe, it's called Ini Kadowa. It's a benign Anito, a double or a guardian of a person who is with the person from the moment the baby is born. You have a kambal, you have a twin spirit who is
with them. And does everyone have one?
Yeah, it looks like. It's like every person from the moment the baby is born.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have to do anything to ensure that you have one?
I'm sure there's a ritual that people do at birth. This is a word, this is a name that I have never heard before. Maybe because it's the most feared Anito. And you can't say his name. Because if you say his name, it's a curse.
Are you going to say his name?
I might. Let's see. It's Balaan tribe from where Melu is.
Uh-huh.
Loos Klagan.
And what does this god do?
Disasters, death, and pestilence.
What do they call him then?
He who must not be named.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. The evil one.
And that's interesting because there's not much stories about a Satan equivalent.
Nope.
Or not as much, right? So for example, in Tagalog mythology, there's someone called Sitan,
mm-hmm.
who supposedly is the god
the
of the
evil,
underworld.
The adversary.
And then he would have people who would be...
his minions.
Yeah, or people or lower gods who would be working for him or her and doing all of the evil deeds. But there aren't stories about what these gods are up to or what do they do, right?
No, not really. It's very interesting because remember we were doing that research for this. We were invited.
Maybe you don't need to because all of the aswangs are there for the social function of don't do so and so.
Maybe. I think there's a lot of carrots. What's the opposite of carrot?
Stick.
There's a lot of stick and carrot approaches to good behavior in pre-colonial Philippines. It's not just don't do bad things or else you will be punished. Mm. But also, do respectful good things and you will be rewarded. And in my mind, and I don't know if this is just my perception, there seems to be more carrots than sticks.
That's not necessarily true. Right? Because I think we have so many stories of like... No, we have so many stories of aswang and like
true.
Things to avoid, things to do so that you to appease spirits or not
the
like
death,
offend them.
The death.
So probably things. It links with the whole you would talk to minor gods for things you need, but also the lower gods of like maybe the underworld or the evil spirit are also already there to serve the social function of mm-hmm. please behave, otherwise this would happen.
Yeah.
You don't really need a big bad.
Mm-hmm.
To serve that function.
And also because that thing, I like that.
So there's no like big war between good and bad, right? That you have in the Bible, for example.
I sort of think all of a sudden does that mean that there is more belief in the individual or community capability of making good decisions?
Possibly. Possibly, but also, again...
Like your community and then your ancestors will keep you in check because they're still just there.
Yeah, and there's no, like, there's no finality to it. There's no, like, in Christian belief, right, that you're waiting for the end of times, the final judgment,
yeah,
when the big war between good and bad,
yes,
will happen, so make sure you're on the right side.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of, like, finality before you kind of go into everlasting life or something.
Yeah.
But because the core of the belief is this, it never really ends.
Yeah.
The dead ones are just around,
yeah,
us.
We'll just hang out
anyway.
Yeah.
Then there's no point to like having like a big confrontation.
Yeah.
That's not needed.
I like
My
that.
Question is there a belief in resurrection or like living?
I don't know.
Does anyone go back to?
I haven't
to the
seen
land
like
the living.
You know, like
I didn't see that.
Like
in
the Morph, not Morpheus. The guy who went back to the underworld and he got his wife.
Orpheus. And
Eurydice. Yeah. So he went back to get his wife, and then he looked back, and so she was unable to follow. I don't know.
There's a story.
In our death myths.
So remember that guy who, as part of creation. So he's one of the first children of the first peoples, and he started worshiping this shark, which
yes,
died and went to shore.
And he was struck by lightning, and then he became
He was
dark.
Struck by lightning.
Yeah.
He had a wife.
Okay.
And he was obviously dead, but he wanted to go back,
mm-hmm,
right? And be with his wife again. The problem was, when he was away, like while he was away, his wife ended up going with another person.
Which is reasonable.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, you're
I
dead,
know.
Right? But when the guy came back, he talked to his kid and he's like, "Where's your mom?" And the kid's like, "Oh, she's with this other guy now." And
was he like a zombie?
No, because
okay,
there was no concept of like dying, right?
Okay, okay.
He just really went back to the mortal world.
Okay.
And he asked his kid to go fetch his wife. And the wife was like, "No, I'm with someone else now." Like, what the heck?
Like, hooray for you, you're alive again.
Yeah. So the guy was like, "Then what? Why am I even here?" So
yeah,
he's like, "Okay, screw this." And then he went back to the other world,
yeah,
to the spirit world. And they say that that's the reason why people don't have second lives.
Oh.
Because that was supposed to be like, he was the one who set the precedent.
Oh.
For, okay,
that
you just
don't
stay
go back
in the spirit world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you don't go back.
That makes sense, because you don't want to screw up your wife's second marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, I like it because it was motivated by consideration. I'm a considerate guy. I don't want to ruin this for her.
Was he considerate or was he like bitter? He was like, nah.
Was he thwarted? Was he like, wait.
I hate that trope of like,
yeah,
cheating on your...
See, because this guy, the shark guy, he was like, well, you know, let's just move on.
Yeah.
And that's why he made... They made the other world. Anyways, going back to the fun random gods and the Anitos, there is a god in the Manobo tribe for wrestling and sports named Apila.
Mm, Apila.
Apila. That should be a sport brand. Apila, right?
Like Fila. The Filipino Fila. Apila.
Apila. That's his brand name, right?
That's like Nike, because Nike is the muse of sports.
Exactly. Brand it, patent it. Let's apply for the IP for that. So there is, we were talking about...
she's not the muse of sports. She's the goddess of victory.
Oh, sorry. That's specific though.
Nike.
Don't you have to fight and compete to be victorious?
No.
So is there another god just for sports? Okay, so you know how we were talking about the different sun gods, right? And so we talk about Apo Malyari, Apo Ma, and the different gods who are part of the sun, and that other creation myth that we had where the sun was melted and then they became the globe of the sun, the globe of the moon, and the stars. There is another god on the Tagbanwak tribe called Marakad. And very specifically, this is the god who is found on the other side of the sun during noontime. So think of the sun during noontime straight above.
Yeah.
On the other side, there's this guy named Magrakat, and he gives warmth to sustain life and carries away sickness when people are ill. But he's not on the face
Why
of the sun.
Why is he on the other side?
Mainit kasi. on the other side of the sun.
What's he doing there?
I thought he was on the other side of the earth. No, he's the other side of the sun during noontime.
Mm.
And I like it because it's you give warmth and then takes away sickness. Because, you know, sunlight is antibacterial, right? So it's a very clear... I like it when Anitos have very clear social functions.
Mm.
You know, if someone is sick, you bring them out, they get vitamin D, they get healthier. So that one I really like. Magrakan. And related to sickness also, there is also a very old god in Batak, Maguimba. And he lived amongst the people and provided everything that they needed, like cures of illness. And they can bring the dead back to life. Oh, but it's a very, very old god. So there weren't a lot of stories about them too.
Mm.
This one I like is, this could also be a modern god. It's the god Tagalog. He's the news-giving protector of travelers. And his name is Kapiso Pabalita.
Oh, wait. News-giving?
News-giving protector of travelers.
What does that mean?
So he's like, uy, that bridge is out. Don't go there.
So he makes sure that people get news of things
that affect their travel. Right?
So specific.
I love these super specific.
Who's that Filipino weatherman?
Ernie Barong.
Ernie Barong.
Ernie Barong.
Maybe this is one of his ancestors.
Oh my god, that's him. He has a barong. He was so good though because he also had science trivia, which I really enjoyed. Speaking of specific, you want specific? The Batak people have a god named Balung Bunganin, who is the god of the Almasiga tree. I've never heard of this tree before. Have you heard of this tree? So this
what
tree
is
a rare tree that they use the resin for varnish, lacquer, soap, paint, printing inks, linoleum, shoe polish, floor wax, plastic, waterproofing materials, paper sizing, and many other products. Locally, they use it for incense for religious ceremonies, and they use it for caulking and smudge for mosquitoes.
Wow.
It's
such
a super useful tree, but also it's near to be endangered. Almasiga tree. And so that's why they have a specific god.
I love it.
Who is the spirit of the tree. Because if you think about it, he's sort of like the Hephaestus. Because he is the god of this tree who gives him so many things. He gives him a livelihood. He makes their trees nice.
I mean, there are medicinal purposes. There are, nice.
Balung Bunganin. And then lastly, I'm going to the last of specific things, right? So remember we were talking about rice and there's like different things about the harvest that are very specific. In the Ifugao and Tiboli, the Tiboli are, they call the dream weavers, right? They dream about the patterns they're going to weave.
Yes.
And then they weave it. And then the Ifugao, they're very known for their weaving as well.
Mm.
So there are specific goddesses for that. In Tiboli, there's one specific one, Fadalu. And she's the goddess of the abaca plant.
Mm-hmm.
And she speaks. She is the one who speaks to the weavers in their dreams.
Oh.
She gives a brief.
She's like, guys, are the theme of this year's collection.
This year's collection. She's like Anna Wintour.
Yeah. She's Fadalu. Like, fall winter collection. No, wait. There's no fall winter.
No. Springtime collection. No more florals, guys.
Yeah. Monsoon collection.
Here's
our theme.
Waterproofing. Teardrop formations. Fadalu.
F.
A.
Fadalu.
Two words. Sorry. Fudalu.
Fudalu.
Fudalu is the weaving. See, that's also another brand name that we can Fudalu. And you invoke her. You should have a collection for your rug company. The Fudalu collection.
The Fudalu.
Right? And then you have to invoke her when you make your...
But I'm not from that tribe. She won't recognize me.
And you're far from the South.
It's appropriation.
It's appropriation. We don't have our own gods here. We can bring our own gods. Okay. And then, of course, the Ifugao. There are 24 different Anitos. Just for weaving.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
And I'll give you two examples.
How do they classify it? Or is it just random?
It's part of the process.
Okay.
It's like product supply.
Oh, nice.
Right? So this one, this mamiyo, is the stretcher of skeins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to stretch it. Of course. And at one point, you have to wind the thread.
Yes.
That god is Monlolot.
Manlolot.
Monlolot.
Monlolot.
Yes. To wind the thread on the spindle. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's 21 others for other processes.
So, do you pray to them at each stage?
I think so.
So, like, while you're...
And some people have different tasks, right? Some person is just stretching the skeins. And depending on where you are in the process.
So, they're... Oh, so they separated the process.
Yeah.
Like an assembly line.
It almost is like an assembly line. The thinking of 23 different people, it makes it sound like it's like an assembly line god. So like there's the... Because you have to get the fabric. You have to beat the fabric to get the threads out. You have to bleach them. You have to dye them. Then you have to stretch them. Then you have to wind them.
Yeah.
Then you have to weave them. Then you have to tighten. Then you have to... You know, there's like so many processes.
I like the idea of... I think one of the things that makes it a good kind of practice is you're very mindful at each stage of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you're invoking someone, then there's a level of intention that you're setting with the task about, like, I hope that I'm able to do this well, or
I hope the skein doesn't break.
Exactly.
I hope, you know.
And it makes it, because it's such a, if you think about it, it's a mundane task at the end of the day, right? It's a bit repetitive. But the idea of having to invoke someone for it to go well, I think it's similar to our modern day, like, set an intention before each stage of what you're doing in a day if you want to, like, stay present. So, that's interesting.
It's good. I think it's a mind... And it turns it into almost a spiritual experience, right? And there's meaning in the present. There's meaning in the mundane
and
task.
And if weaving is so important to them, then it just makes a lot of sense.
Which is why it's so important, and I'm sure this is with all weaving cultures, not just Filipino weaving cultures. I think that's why it's so important that when you use the different fabrics of different tribes, you do it in a respectful way. Like, you can't just get the fabric that you bought from the place and I'm gonna put it like as the straps to my dress.
There was a designer, and let's not name them, but he wanted to use one of the tribal patterns in one of his designs. He asked for permission, to be fair. So he said, I'm going to use the design in one of my collections. And the tribe agreed.
Yeah.
But they didn't really say where they were going to use it. It ended up going into a slipper design.
Yeah.
Like a casual slipper design. Yeah. And the problem is, I think it was one of the sacred designs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Each of the different designs serve a function. Some of them are for death and burial, for example.
Some of them are only for religious purposes.
Or like, for the religious leaders. Like, not even everyone could use it. So there was something about that obviously, like, the community was, you know, not happy about it. And I think that's why it's important that there are safeguards, right? Yeah. There is a commission that kind of helps review and intercede as well on behalf of the indigenous tribes to make sure that, you know, whatever gets passed on and shared about their culture is done in a proper way.
Oh, also, like, not just with weaving, but also we talked about the mambabatok, the tribal tattoos. You know, you don't get a tattoo from Wangod just because you went there and paid money. It's a headhunter tribe. So sometimes you don't get a tattoo unless you've done a kill, or if you've done great service to the community, or you've done, you know, so... I think it's as we unearth these things, we have to be careful about, not unearth, sorry, but like bring it to a different audience. Mm. We also want to be careful about respectfully talking about their stories and saying the names. That's also one thing that I was conscious about, is that, you know, that guy I talked about from the Balaan tribe, who is the great evil. What if they were working so, so, so hard to hide the name?
And then that's true.
So I did a bit of research. It's like, is it okay to say this name? And they're like, yes, it's okay. It's okay to say this name. But, you know, it's important to balance the relevance of the time.
Yes.
To how we talk about and discuss these anitos, these customs, and, you know, these arts today. But I think the more that we discuss and the more that we approach it, not from a voyeuristic standpoint, but like more of like, wow, that's so cool standpoint. Admiration, not appropriation, I guess is the best way to put it. And even learn more. And if you guys, you know, learn more about the anitos also, if you have your own anitos that you want to talk about, that would be, you know, great too. Okay, so at this point, you know, I love all of the random, specific, but important concerns.
Because they sprung from what does the community need?
Yeah.
And therefore, like, what do we actually need intercession for?
So I think, like you said, modern aches and pains. modern aches and pains are things that we really, really need.
A god for anxiety.
A god for anxiety, yeah. A god for, like, overthinking.
Migraine.
Migraine god. A god for, you know, when you get that crick in your neck when you're sitting at your computer too long.
A god to help you be more mindful about what you eat.
Mm, I like that. I like that because sometimes you're just mindlessly eating something.
So when you invoke someone, but I mean...
A green shake god.
A what?
Green shake god. Di ba one of the shakes are called like a god to make your houseplants survive.
The god of the plantitos and the plantitas.
A plantita god.
Please let this monstera, this fiddle-leaf fig stay alive. My calathea.
You know, rosemaries aren't so hearty.
A god for... I mean, I wish there was a god for climate change.
Well, definitely. A god for recycling. Let this building recycle. A god for when you buy too much books and you haven't had time to read them.
Stop it.
No, see? This causes my anxiety. I have so many books I've bought and borrowed.
And like whenever you're in a bookstore, you're like...
I want to read more. But then that god should be whispering to you, you have 50 more books you haven't read.
The god keeps track.
The gods keep track.
There are like 32 unread books in your pile. Yeah.
Are you buying more? It's a passive-aggressive god.
Do you really
need another book?
Is the god who will tell you, do you need a haircut?
No. The god for impulsive online shopping.
Oh my god.
A budol god. Di ba there's a budol god?
The god against budol. Mm. Oh my gosh, that's so important.
You have to get a little anito and you put him next to your computer.
Yeah.
And does he look like? Does he look like an Alcantara?
No. Instead of an ad blocker.
Oh, you have
this god is a Chrome extension.
Yeah, Chrome extension. She'll just look at you.
She'll be like, are you sure?
Do you need a pickup?
No. And then you have to ask, I mean, we can just make like, this is, we this can is make this extension make. Today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It will ask you like five different times if you're absolutely sure.
Do you already have something that's exactly like this? Yeah. Do you have space in your house for
like
this?
It's like the question like, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind?
The four-way test.
The four-way test. Do you need this? Do you have something similar? How often will you use it?
How often do you use it? Can you afford it? Do you have the cash for it?
And then by the time you answer all the questions, you're so freaking tired or guilty. You're like, oh, fine,
I won't buy it. Then you go on your phone because there's no ad blockers on your phone. And then you just buy it from there. That's the god that...
That's actually quite useful.
Right? I would need it. What did I buy?
What is there a god for, like, fake news?
Yes. Maybe that's the pabiso balita, tagabalita person should come back. Like, fake news!
Yeah.
Is it true? Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Does it come from a trusted news source?
Exactly.
There should be a god for phishing mails for old people.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
For scams?
Yeah.
A god against scams.
A god against
scams. This Nigerian prince doesn't exist.
I know. You know, probably there wasn't a god for honesty or whatever. People were probably quite honest back in the day. No? I don't know.
That's a generalization.
No, that's true. I'm sure scammers abound in pre-colonial Philippines. How about a god for a parking lot?
A god for cancel culture.
Yeah.
Hustle culture. Our favorite.
Hate hustle culture. Busy bragging.
What's that?
Busy bragging is like, oh my god, I've been working.
No, so the god should be for like...
Work-life balance.
or like mindful productivity.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm not being productive for the sake of being productive or I feel guilty about not being as productive, but I'm doing something that I genuinely has value.
Yeah.
Like, that's a god I would invoke.
A god of purpose.
A god of purpose.
Who got?
Isn't that someone that we're all kind of trying to worship now anyway? Like, what's my purpose?
I know.
A god god of creative pursuits and passions.
Exactly. The muse. That's what the muse is.
Yeah.
That's what the muse is. You ask for the muse to show up. You come, you do your work, and you ask for the muse to show up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
This is so obviously an aside. But in the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
One of my faves.
Which is about creative passion, creative genius. She talks about how creative genius?
Ideas.
Yeah, ideas just come to us
yes.
every now and then, and it's our responsibility to make something out
to
of it.
To nurture it.
To nurture it and make something out of it, because if not, then it just moves on to the next person.
Exactly. So everyone has had that situation where
there's this idea you've been thinking about.
I have an idea I've been thinking about and I wanted to do it, and then you don't act on it, and then like later on someone makes a book, a movie or whatever, and then it was your exact idea.
Exactly.
And you're like, that was my idea. And there's this belief called the, I think this is one of those pseudoscience things called the Akashic Records. And they said that when you meditate and you're fully present, that you have access to the Akashic Record, which is all the ideas that have ever been done and will ever happen. And that's why things like the patent for the light bulb that Thomas Edison filed, it was filed on the same day as another patent for a light bulb.
Term for that scientific phenomenon when scientists from different locations come upon the same discovery at like the same time period.
It was like spontaneous something. So I think that's something that we'd like to have. We'd like to have like a brilliant idea, but you know what? There should also be a God for like the follow through.
Yeah.
A follow through.
The grind.
Right? Ew, no, not the grind.
You don't, okay. I hate the hustle. Too close to hustle.
Not the grind, but like the perseverance.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stick-to-itiveness. Grit. I like grit more than grind.
A God of grit.
A God of grit and a God of purpose. These are the people that you pray to every day. Because sometimes you already have the big idea and you just have to have the perseverance to work at it. I have one. There should be a God of reunions, so that when you see your judgy tita who says you're gonna, you know,
you gained weight.
Where's
your boyfriend?
Where's your husband?
Where's your first child?
Where's your second child? Of tita judgment. If I was a person thinking of inviting people to a meeting,
okay,
and then something occurs to me like, this could be an email. That God who will come to you at that moment.
Does it have to be a meeting God?
Yes. Does it have to be a meeting God? Right? And then I pluck. It gives me 15 minutes. I pluck it out. That's a God that your teammate should pray to. not you specifically. Not you, the meeting sender. Or that God could also tell your, like, the invitee for the meeting, like, does this have to be a meeting? Oh, someone who can ask.
You also run through, like, the 5 questions.
Is it necessary? The two, double hatting, right? Double hatting person.
I mean, the 4-way test should be there in every single social media.
Yeah. Is it true?
Every time you feel the need to comment or reply, is it necessary? Is it kind? Mm. What is the 4th one?
Is it right? What is the 4-way test?
Is it true? Is it fair? Will it build goodwill? Will it be beneficial? That's like the Rotary.
Yeah, the Rotary 4-way test. I know not a single Rotarian. So I can't. Okay. So yeah, those are the ones, you know. I was thinking of a couple of gods of like packing, you know, travel. You know, remember, because there's so many stressors, right?
The god of last minute travel packing.
Mm-hmm.
The god of arriving on time for your flight.
Mm-hmm. The god of uneventful transfers. The god of lost luggage. The god of spilled shampoo in your luggage.
Spilled shampoo.
It
so
happens.
Specific.
It happens, man. Some people. Oh, the god of like no noisy kids on airplanes. Just travel stress. Your travel stress god in general.
Yeah. I mean, what about COVID?
I know. The god of washing hands. The god of like wearing your fucking mask properly. Okay, so those are the modern gods that we've talked about. And so that we wish existed.
Yeah.
If wishing made it so. So let's, you know, if you guys have any ideas in terms of modern gods and modern god problems that you would like to invoke in these modern days, please let us know. If you can make a doodle of them, that would be fun too. What would they look like? What would they do? What kind of offerings do you make to them?
Yeah.
That'd be super, super interesting for us. And so you can leave a message on our Anchor and you can send us a message on our IG.
Yeah.
And we'd be more than happy to discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think just on a serious note, one thing that I really kind of like that we talked about in this episode, or one thing that I learned and got reminded of, is it's not about the having gods for every single mm-hmm. thing, but especially with that discussion on like the different stages of weaving and then a god for each stage. The fact that you're asking intercession on different aspects of your life, it's really all about the intention that you're mm-hmm. trying to carry. Like, may this harvest be a good one, mm-hmm. right? May I travel safely. You're mm-hmm. being constantly like, what's this? Mindful and aware of what you're doing. And, yep. you know, you're being intentional about yep. the outcome that you want. And I think that that's a practice that, to be honest, not all of us have kept. Regardless, yeah. I mean, it's not a religion. It's not really, you know, a religious-based mm-hmm. practice. But it's more about just presence in the day-to-day. Yeah. Like, and you know, a good commute.
Yeah, and or like, is this what, today? Because, like, you know, there used to be someone. I forgot who it was. I think it's Kathy, the guy, one of our coworkers before. Every time I would get into a car with her, she'd start the car, put on her seatbelt, she'd touch the rosary in front of her rearview mirror. Mm. And then I always thought that's nice because the intention is we're going to drive safely.
Yes.
We're going to travel safely today.
Yeah.
And some people just like, and rip out of the garage, which is what I do. Mm. But I like that you take a moment and then you mindfully and intentionally say like, I'm going to drive safely today.
Yeah.
I'm going to come and weave today. I'm going to do the best work that I can.
Exactly.
Today, right?
So exactly. So I think that's what I take away from this. Like, it's all about being that intentional about the...
Yeah.
And making sure that the activities that you engage in, the things that you do, you're doing it purposefully. Like, mm-hmm. you're not just doing it mindlessly and going through it like...
The eating.
Like a drone. And you know, just, there's a purpose and there's an intention in everything.
I like that.
And I think it's a good... Yeah, it's a good reminder to us, yeah. I think.
Let's make offer this to the Anito of podcasts.
To the God of podcasts.
To the God of podcasts.
We hope that you found this helpful and insightful as
we offer this.
And fun as we did.
Yes. Okay.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye, guys.
This has been an episode of
The Gods Must Be Crazy.
We hope that you enjoyed listening in. We will be posting episodes every other week or so. So, you know, please join us for the next one.
In terms of sources, where we got our stories, and how we know what we know, we try to do as much research as possible, within a reasonable amount of time, of course. And we try to stay close to the original tellers of the tale as much as possible. However, we do know that a lot of our mythology comes from oral tradition, stories that your grandma and your grandma's grandma and your grandma's grandma's grandma told you. So if our renditions or our stories are a little bit different from what you know and what you grew up with, please do let us know.
Follow us on Instagram at thegodsmustbecrazy.pod. We do post some additional information there. We post the teasers of what's coming next, you know, and any other things you may be curious about that we feature in our episodes. Who is Gardo Versace and why does he keep appearing in these different episodes? What are the different recipes that we feature for tinola and black rice and adobo and stuff like that? And obviously, it's where we would love to hear from you as well. If you have any other stories that you want to feature or maybe requests of things that you want us to feature. There's also a way to directly talk to us and share any of your stories. So if you go to our anchor.fm website, there's a button there with a plus sign and it says message, and you can actually record voice notes or voice memos for us to listen to and also possibly feature in the episodes themselves.
And of course, where you do listen to us, whatever platform it could be, please do rate, review, subscribe, download. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're even on Audible.
Yeah.
So please share with your friends, tag your friends on our social media, and share your stories too if you feel like it.
Yeah, the best way to support, you know, young and new podcasts like us is really just to spread the word out. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you know, put in a rating and maybe a review of what you like about the show. Or if not, you know, just share it with your friends on social media. And, you know, that would be really, really helpful for us. So until next time.
Bye.